John chapter 16 is our text this evening, if you have a Bible. In the Gospel of John chapter 16, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. The title of tonight's message is, What is God doing in the world today? What is He doing in the world today? What is God up to today? Jesus is back in heaven, the Bible says, but what is God doing? We read here in our text, Jesus was speaking to the apostles before He died and before He rose again. And before He returned to sit down at His rightful place in heaven, He said to the apostles in verse 7, He said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That's good right there. We could talk a long time about that. Jesus is going away, and He tells them their hearts are troubled, and they need to believe God. As He tells them hard things, He says, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. That is what we need. A lot of our culture today does not want the truth. We want to be told we're good, we're okay, everything's fine, it's all going to work out, don't sweat it, don't fret, you know, just go with the flow, it's going to be all right. But Jesus said, I tell you the truth. And He did. He is the truth, and He told the truth, and nothing but the truth. We need the truth. Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, if you continue in His word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Nothing else will make us free but the truth. So He told His apostles, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient or absolutely necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter. Now you see the capital C there. That's a title for the Holy Spirit of God. The Comforter will not come unto you if I go not away. But if I depart, I, Jesus, will send Him unto you. And when He is come, what will He do in the world? What will God be doing in the world? What is God doing in the world now that Jesus is sitting on His throne in heaven? What is God doing in the world? It says, when He has come, He will reprove the world. He will reprove the world of what? He will reprove, He will prove something, He will convince of something. He will prove and convince and convict us in the world of something. What will He convince us of? What will He reprove us of? He will reprove the world of sin. That's what Jesus said. He will reprove the world of sin. Now, I know we're trying to do away with sin in our world now. We're trying to call it by something else. We're trying to excuse every type of sin, every type of perversion. We're trying to rename and put makeup on it and make it look like it's really okay. But we know the truth because God put in us a conscience. It's not okay. And God gave us His holy law, and we know it's not okay. And God gave us the very laws of nature, which show us the reality of God, the reality of God and His wrath against sin. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come, and He would convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Why these three? Look at what Jesus said in verse 9, of sin, because they believe not in Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and ye see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Heavenly Father, I pray that You will help us this evening. Help me to preach the Word. And may each of us receive the Word with humility and with meekness, understanding this is the Word of God being preached. May we receive it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so Scripture teaches that Jesus came to this world, sent from God the Father. The Bible says He was sent from the bosom or the heart of the Father. And Jesus, on this earth, in His 33 and a half years, walking on this earth in the body of His flesh, Jesus, God the Son, the God-man, perfectly fulfilled the will of His Father that sent Him. Absolutely performed it perfectly, absolutely, all the way until He died on the cross and He said, it is finished. Then God raised Him from the dead on Resurrection Sunday morning. Jesus returned to the Father. He is sitting now at His rightful place at the Father's right hand in heaven, waiting until the Father tells Him to return to this earth to rule and reign on this earth. That's what we pray for when we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Jesus promised He would send the Holy Spirit, and He did send the Holy Spirit. We see that in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Jesus here calls the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is God. God eternally has existed, as a triune God, the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus said here that He is the Comforter. It's interesting that He calls Him the Comforter, and then right after calling Him the Comforter, He says He is reproving, or He's rebuking, or He's convicting, or He's convincing the world that we're sinners. He's comforting us by showing us we're sinners? Yes, He is. He is called later in this chapter the Spirit of Truth. He shows us the bad news, and then He can bring us comfort in the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, when we understand who we are before a holy God. He is the Comforter. I know to a lot of people this does not sound comfortable. Well, it's not comfortable at first, but it's like a good doctor that says, I'm going to tell you the truth, but then here's the good news. We can help you with this. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter, and He reproves the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He opens our eyes to the truth, and then the truth can make us free. Get it? The truth will make you free, Jesus said. You can't make yourself free. You can't just unravel. You can't get set free from being a sinner before a holy God. But the truth can make you free, Jesus said. Amen. Praise the Lord. So He reproves of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So let's look at these three. As we see them unfold, we'll obviously see the gospel here. First, what is God doing in the world? He is reproving the world of sin. Why? He said of sin because they believe not on Me. Of sin because they believe not on Jesus. Now the book of John, everybody on planet Earth needs to read the book of John. It is the record of the Lord Jesus Christ, the inspired record given from God through His apostle John, who was an eyewitness to what Jesus preached and did. John saw Him baptized. John was with Him in the Galilean ministry, in the Jerusalem ministry, the Judean ministry, the Perean ministry. He was there when Jesus opened the ears of the deaf, gave sight to the blind, raised people from the dead. Jesus preached the gospel, and John was a witness to all of this. He saw Jesus hang on the cross and suffer for our sins. He saw Jesus after He rose again. He saw Jesus ascend up into heaven. Everybody ought to read the book of John. If you've never read the book of John, you need to. We have hundreds and hundreds of copies of it around here. We will give you one tonight. If you've never read it, you need to read the book of John. This is how John ends the book. It's not the very last verse, but it's toward the end. He tells us that these things are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That's why the book of John was written. That we would read this and we would be persuaded. We would believe. We would be absolutely convinced to the point of committing ourselves to Jesus Christ. That's what belief is in the Bible. I know in America it's popular for a lot of preachers to say, well, just believe, and what they mean by that is just bow your head and say, Jesus, I believe, and then go on and live your life however you want. But that's not belief in the Bible. It's to be totally persuaded that He is the Christ, which means He is the Lord. He's the Son of God. He's sent from God. He's going to rule and reign one day forever and ever. So it's get with Him. It's written that we might believe. Paul the Apostle said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against the day of judgment. And what is the that that I've committed? It's myself. I've committed myself to Him. I am His, He is mine. John starts with, in John 1, it starts with, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Bible tells us in John 1 that He's the light shining in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. It couldn't get it. He gave light through preachers like Abel and Noah and Abraham and Elijah and on down through the Old Testament. He gave light and the darkness could not comprehend it. Jesus came Himself in the body of His flesh. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They didn't receive Him. But as many as received Him, people like Peter, James, John, Mary Magdalene, Cleopas, Martha, Lazarus, others like them, as many as received Him, to them gave He, God, power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, that's born again, not of blood, not from their human ancestry, nor of the will of the flesh, not because they just made it happen, nor of the will of man, but born again of God. And that's why Jesus said to one of the most religious men that ever lived, Nicodemus, he said, except a man be born again, made brand new, made a new creature, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. He cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so he said, ye, and ye is plural. That's not just Nicodemus. That's everybody that was on Nicodemus' team, so to speak. All the other rulers and leaders with him that he represented, Jesus said, ye must be born again. Now, there might be someone here that says, born again. I've heard that. You know, that's what Billy Graham said, you know. That didn't start with Billy Graham. That didn't start with me. That started with Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament prophet said there would be a new covenant. And that's what Jesus was preaching. God would take away our wicked heart of unbelief and give us a new heart. Jesus was preaching about that. Keep attention to this belief. Why is he reproving of sin in the world? Because they believe not on Jesus. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish. That's hell. Should not perish, lost forever, should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, Jesus didn't have to come to condemn us. We're already condemned. Our parents sinned, and their parents sinned, and their parents sinned all the way back to Adam and Eve. They absolutely rebelled against God. And when Adam sinned against God, we all sinned in Adam. As the head of the human race, he sinned, and spiritually he died, and we all died in Adam. Jesus came so that we could believe on him and be saved. Paul preached, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Romans 10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, but listen, it's not just, okay, Lord Jesus, there I did it. But it says, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible says. You'll notice just about everything I say is what the Bible says. And what I'm adding there is I'm just trying to help us understand it a little bit and explain it. In Acts 8, there was a man that said, what about me being baptized? Is there anything keeping me from being baptized? And God's man Philip, in the book of Acts chapter 8, said, if thou believest, if you're persuaded, if you're committed, if you believe with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. John said in the Gospel of John, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth right now, presently, on him. John tells us, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, the Holy Spirit is right now in the world reproving or rebuking or convincing or convicting as criminals everybody who is not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Criminals, lost, undone. You say, well, what's the big deal? Why are people in trouble? Because they don't believe on Jesus. Because this is wicked sin. It is wicked sin to not believe on the one God sent, the only one who can save us. It is rebellion in its most evil fashion and form. Sin is defined in Scripture. The Bible says sin is the transgression of the law. God has spoken, God has clearly laid out His commandments in Scripture, and as we have violated them, we have sinned. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Jesus said, if you even look on a woman with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery in your heart. Sin. That's adultery in the heart. Sin is idolatry. Idolatry is to put anything before God. We are commanded to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And nobody in this room and nobody on planet Earth has ever done that for more than a few seconds. Loving God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and our neighbor just as much as ourselves. We've fallen short of that. That's God's law. Sin is idolatry, I said. It's worshiping any god other than the one true and living God. It is sin to use God's name in vain. It is sin. It is sin to say as an exclamation point the name of God, something exciting or something frightening or something that we're upset about and use God's name in that way. Or we're happy to see someone, so we exclaim the name of God. That's using God's name in vain. It is using God's name in vain to say, oh, I live for God, and then not live for God. That's saying, I'm with God. It's using God's name. Oh, yeah, I'm a God person. I'm with Jesus. I'm the Lord. I'm with the Lord. I'm one of God's people. I'm a Christian. And then not actually be what we say. That's using God's name in vain. It's using God's name in vain to say, I swear to God I'll do this, and then not do it. It's using God's name in vain. It's sin. Sin is the transgression of the law. It is wicked sin to dishonor our parents, and we've dishonored our parents. Dishonoring the parents with a look, with a sigh, with a rolling of the eyes, with a little bit of the stamping of the feet, with deception, with lying, with covering up something that our parents ought to know about. It's sin. Lying is sin. The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. The Bible says that all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. The Bible says God hates lying lips. That's what the Bible says. That's what God's Word says. That's the truth. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The Bible says that stealing is sin. Thou shalt not steal. The Bible says that coveting is sin. You don't covet your neighbor's anything, his house, his animals, his, we'd say today, his cars, his job, his spouse, her spouse. You don't covet. That is sin against God. It's idolatry. It's saying, God, you're not good to me. I don't have what they have, and I really want it. You know what we try to do? We try to just act like it's not a big deal. Well, everybody's this way, but God says it's sin. It's sin. It's the transgression of the law. And we come into this world as sinners because sin has passed from Adam on down through the generations to each of us. And the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the Bible also says this good news. Jesus is the Son of God who left heaven, came to this earth, never sinned, lived a sinless life, was even born of the Virgin Mary. The Bible says he did no sin, who is yet without sin. He went about doing good, who did always those things that pleased the Father. And the Bible says he died on the cross in our place, paying for our sins. Amen. That's what the Bible says. That's the good news. Amen. Scripture says that God made his Son Jesus to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible says that in His own body, He bare our sins on the cross of Calvary, on the tree. The Bible says that He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, and He was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, and with His stripes we are healed. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says Christ died for the ungodly. Remember, ungodly, sinners. The reason many people will not believe on Jesus is because they won't believe that they're even a sinner. Well, if you're not ungodly, then Jesus didn't die for you, because you're okay. But nobody's okay, because the Scripture says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, the Bible says. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We don't see how bad sin is anymore. Sin is so bad that for sin to be paid for, Jesus had to suffer like nobody's ever suffered. Jesus had to suffer even before he went to the cross, die on the cross. His blood had to be shed for sin to be paid for our debt to be canceled. Jesus had to die the awful death of the crucifixion of Calvary, and the Father's holy wrath against sin had to be poured out on his Son in our place. That's why he's called the Lamb of God, the innocent Lamb, the Passover Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I am chief. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to rescue sinners, to deliver sinners, to save sinners. Those of us born in sin, sinners by our nature, sinner by the choices we have made, sinners by our practice, sinners in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds. Scripture even outlines in the book of Romans, it's as if God is a doctor taking the flashlight, looking in the mouth, and he said their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their eyes are full of adulteries and covetousness. And with their hands, they've shed innocent blood, and their feet are swift in running to mischief. God goes right through us and says, sin, 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 sin. And yet he sent his Son to die on the cross in our place to suffer for our sins. But not only that we could have forgiveness of sins, but that actually we could have the righteousness of God by Jesus Christ. One preacher said, not just subtraction, sins forgiven, and praise God for forgiveness of sins, but not just that, but also addition, the righteousness of Christ added to us so that we can actually be complete in Christ. He rose from the grave for our justification. He came back from the dead just as He promised. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. If all Jesus did was going around saying, I can save you, I can take away your sins, I can wash you clean and all, and then He died and He's buried and that's it, how could we have any confidence in that? Anybody could say, I'm the Son of God and I'm going to forgive you of all your sins. But He said, I will rise again the third day, and He arose just as He promised. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says that Mary Magdalene saw Him after He was raised again. Mary, the mother of James, saw Him. The apostles Peter and John saw Him. Cleopas saw Him. The apostle Thomas saw Him. All of the apostles saw Him. 500 men at one time saw Him. And what did they get for professing and proclaiming that Jesus rose? Did they get rich from it? No, they got killed for it. They got killed for it. They got treated like the scum of the earth, basically, is what the Bible says. The offscouring of the earth, because they stuck to this testimony that the Jesus who died rose again. And that is the good news, the resurrection of Jesus. He came out of the grave just as He promised. He was raised again by the power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. He said, before He died, I have power to lay down my life and to take it up again. And He did that. He's the Lord Jesus. Now, let's get back. Why am I saying all this? I've been about 15 minutes now talking about something to take us right back to this point right here. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin because they don't believe on Jesus. Are you getting the point here? If you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this sin of unbelief, this sin of not being submitted to Christ, not being committed to Christ, not being persuaded of Christ, not receiving Him as the one and only Savior from sin and the one and only Savior from the consequences of sin, death and hell, this sin of rejecting Christ is the supreme sin. It's the ultimate sin. It is to reject God's provision of salvation, His provision of rescue and deliverance. It leaves you, if you reject Jesus, it leaves you under the wrath of God. All sin is wicked and is against God, but this is the epic sin, the ultimate sin, not receiving Jesus, the only Savior from sin. That's the ultimate sin. But we've got to consider again what the Bible says about belief, because many, especially in our quote-unquote Christian culture that we live in, will say, but I do believe on Jesus. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm going to ask it this way. According to what Jesus said, do you believe on Jesus? It's His way. It's not my definition of belief or your definition or anybody else's definition. He laid it out very plainly in the conclusion of the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. He showed at the conclusion of that many will say one day as they stand before Him, Lord, Lord, I said, Lord, Lord, and I did the things in Your name. But He said, I will say I never knew you because you didn't actually do the will of My Father. To actually believe on Jesus Christ is true saving faith that involves commitment to Christ, and that faith that Jesus calls saving belief produces a changed life, a new creature, a new person that walks with Him, obeying Him in the Word of God by the grace of God. The Bible shows what real belief in Jesus is and what it produces. You will see people in John that said they believed, but Jesus did not commit Himself to them. It was not genuine belief. It was just like intellectual. Okay, you know, I accept it. Sounds good to me. James says in the book of James, the devils believe and even tremble before God, but demons of hell are not saved. They're not sons of God. They're not children of God. To truly believe on Jesus is to forsake all other philosophies, all other ways, all other attempts to forsake your self-righteousness, your list of so-called good deeds that you have done, and to fully and completely and only cast yourself on Jesus to save you, and it's receiving Him as He is, the Christ, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything short of that is not actual belief on Jesus. And if there is this belief on Jesus, that belief produces a changed life, a life in the will of God. Well, what does that look like? It looks like this book right here. It looks like living a Bible life. So ask yourself a question. Am I really a believer in Jesus? Or am I just living my own life the way I want? Jesus warned of that. That's the broad way. There is a broad way that leads to destruction, and many, many people are walking on that. If you're a majority rules thinker, then that's the way you're going to go. Well, it looks right to me. After all these people are going this way. All these people are saying this is okay. All these people think this will work out. It must be right. But Jesus said, actually, you need to turn off the broad way and into the narrow gate and get on the narrow road with Jesus. If you're really a believer in Jesus, He is the light, and you are walking in the light, He said. And the Bible is called the light. You're walking biblically according to the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is God doing in the world today? He is reproving the world of sin, and in particular of sin because they believe not on me. If you don't actually believe on Jesus with real saving faith, really repenting of your sin and your sinful life and believing on Christ exclusively as He truly is to save you from your sins, Jesus said this repeatedly in the book of John. If you're not that, He said, ye shall die in your sins. I cannot think of anything worse. Going to death and going into eternity with all of my sins. 43 years worth of sins. And all gone with me. Dragging me down into hell. And yet Jesus said, if you'd continue in His word, ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins and was raised again. We don't have to die in our sins. But everybody that does is being reproved by the Holy Ghost, by God, because of sin, because they don't believe on Him, the ultimate sin. Secondly, though, He said He is reproving of righteousness. God today in this world is reproving of righteousness. Now, let me explain something. How is the Holy Ghost doing this reproving of sin and of righteousness? What I'm doing right now. He tells His churches to take the Word of God and preach the Word of God to every creature. It's everybody. And the Holy Spirit is working through His churches, and He's working through the preaching of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is reproving all around this world. He's reproving people through the preached Word of God. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. What's Jesus saying there? The Holy Ghost, God, is reproving the world of righteousness. Because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Well, Jesus has gone to His Father. Let's not miss this. The very fact that Jesus returned to His Father is proof that He was rejected in this world. This world did not believe on Him. He was rejected. Now, He always knew He would be rejected. He was not surprised at that. But this is proof He was rejected. He was not received as the Christ, the Son of God. The children of Israel did not receive Him as the Messiah. The kings of this world did not receive Him as King of kings and Lord of lords. They absolutely rejected Him. He's returned to heaven. It is wicked sin that the world did not receive Him and is not receiving Him. In many lands, in many places, even in many churches, they're blaspheming His name by saying Jesus, Jesus, and not actually obeying Him. But there's a lot of verbal, oh, we've received Him, but who's really received Him? By and large, this world has rejected Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is reproving of righteousness because He has gone to His Father. This also reminds us Jesus is perfectly righteous. Again, He's sitting on His throne as the Son of God. It is Christ that died, the Bible says, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He's righteous. And this righteousness of Jesus Christ is available to you and to me to be imputed to us. He will apply His righteousness to anyone who will repent of their sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, not just subtraction, but also addition. You can have the righteousness of Jesus applied to you. If you will receive Jesus Christ as the one who died in your place for your sins, receiving Him as the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father has determined and has declared it in Scripture, He will look upon you as sinless as Jesus. He'll look upon you as if you lived a perfect life, as if you never failed, as if you never broke God's law. He will receive you in the person of Jesus Christ, who took all of our sins on Himself. What a transaction. God sent Jesus to die in our place so that God could still be just, absolutely just, and at the same time the justifier, but only of those which believe on Jesus. You see, if you and I, if anybody refuses this forgiveness and justification, then we are reproved. This Holy Spirit reproves of righteousness because Jesus is at the Father's right hand. He's gone to His Father. You know what that says? That tells us this. There He is. He's perfectly righteous. And if I won't repent, if I won't acknowledge I'm a sinner and turn from my sin and believe on Jesus, He is totally righteous, and here I am, still unrighteous, still a sinner, still lost, still under the wrath of God, still condemned, still in my sins. He is absolutely righteous, and I could be with Him, in Him, viewed by God as righteous because of what Jesus did for me, but I am choosing instead to be unrighteous, still in sin. And so the Holy Ghost is reproving this world of righteousness because Jesus is with the Father. We witness to people the truth of the gospel all the time. Only God knows how many people I have preached to here and literally around this country and even in a few other countries around the world. And it is amazing as we preach and as we knock on doors, as we talk to people here and there, folks we work with and all, how many people will go back to this old line of, well, if all my good outweighs my bad, then I'll get in. That is nowhere in the Bible. You'll not find it anywhere in the Bible. I read the Bible every day of my life. I study the Bible. I spend hours and hours in the Bible every single week. I love the Bible. It's not only my job, it's my hobby. I've been reading it and following Jesus by His grace, because of Him, since I was 11 years old. I've been preaching it since I was 15. I'm telling you, it's nowhere in the Bible, this thing of good deeds and bad deeds. It's not. It's just not there. You can't find it. What's in the Bible is there's none righteous, no, not one. And we've got to confess ourselves sinners and believe that Jesus died for our sins and trust Him to make us brand new. And if we won't do that, we're reproved of righteousness because there He is righteous and here we are still in our sins. Number three, what is God doing in the world today? Well, He's reproving the world of sin because they don't believe on Jesus. He's reproving the world of righteousness because Jesus is righteous. He's with His Father. He has shown His righteousness. He has access sitting right at the Father's right hand. And number three, He's reproving the world of judgment, verse 11. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Judgment. The Holy Ghost of God is reproving the world of judgment. Isn't it interesting that one of the greatest tactics of Satan all across the world is this mindset that we want to cling to so bitterly? Nobody has the right to judge me. Don't you judge me. Don't you judge me. God says we're already judged. And Jesus is the judge. And He said in John 5, God's committed all judgment to Him, and He will judge perfect judgment and perfect righteous judgment. And there's a great judgment day coming. But that's not what He's talking about right here. He says, because the prince of this world is judged. The Holy Spirit is reproving, convicting, convincing this world of judgment because the devil is presently judged right now. He's the prince of this world. And you see, everybody who hasn't believed on Jesus and who is not robed in Jesus' righteousness is with the devil. Just how it is. There's no middle ground. I'm a preacher of the Bible. I'm not called to soft soap it and try to make it a little easier to take. It's just the facts. Before I was saved, I was in darkness. I was in the kingdom of darkness. I was a rebel, the Bible says. The Bible says that I was a child of disobedience and a child of wrath. I was with the devil. I was on his team. I was on his side. I was an enemy of God's, an enmity in my heart towards God, the Bible says. And the only way for me to be brought to God and to be reconciled to God was for Jesus to pay the price for my sins and bring me to God, as God's justice and wrath was satisfied by what Jesus accomplished on the cross. I could be brought to God, reconciled, but short of that, I'm at enmity with God. And the prince of this world is judged. And the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, is reproving the world of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now, who is the prince of this world? He's Satan. The Bible reveals him to be the author of sin. He is the one that tempted our parents in the Garden of Eden. He's the one that tempted the Lord Jesus Christ in the wilderness. He is called in the Bible the destroyer, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil. He is the one who fights against the truth. He is the one who sows seeds of confusion and false religion. He is an imposter. He's the enemy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He works to corrupt the Word of God. He contends against the churches of God. Jesus called him Satan and the devil, a murderer, a liar, and the father of liars. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus died on the cross, what looked to humanity like certain loss was actually Jesus giving the devil a mortal blow. Paul wrote in Colossians that on the cross Jesus spoiled, like a king going in and taking the gold and silver and precious things. He spoiled the demonic principalities and power, and he triumphed over them in it. Jesus actually gained the victory over the devil and his demons by dying on the cross for our sin, and he made our deliverance from the grip of Satan and slavery to Satan. He made our deliverance, our rescue possible as he paid in full the debt of our sin. And so we have freedom available by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The devil is already judged. He is bound for total destruction. The Bible says so. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ was triumph over Satan. The devil is his enemy. The devil wants to keep everybody in bondage. The devil wants to keep everybody in sin. The devil wants to keep everybody blinded. The devil wants to keep everybody hiding in the darkness so that our deeds are not exposed, so we don't go to the truth. The devil is judged. But there is a way of escape, a way of deliverance, a way of salvation. We don't have to go on in the grip of Satan. And for 2,000 years, the good news, the gospel, has been preached. Again, the good news. Christ died for our sins, and he was raised again, according to the Scriptures. And he will save whosoever wants it. Do you want it? He'll save you. You don't have to go on in darkness, sin, and slavery. We do not have to be addicts to selfishness and pride and lust and all of these sins that this world is full of. But if you continue on that path, then you yourself are judged with the prince of this world. That's who you're with. There's no middle ground. The Bible says there's coming a time when the devil will be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And the Bible calls him there the devil that deceived them. He is a deceiver. Do not pay attention to him or those who are echoing his message. He's a deceiver. He's lying. He may, even now, you might be thinking, well, I've got plenty of time. I don't need to worry about this. I'm still, you know, I'm not that old. I'm young. I know what the Bible says, but I don't know. I mean, you know, he's lying to you. It's a lie. And the Bible says, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Everybody that accepts the lie is lost and will be lost forever if they don't renounce the lie and repent of the lie and believe on the truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is either the Lord Jesus Christ or the enemy, the prince of this world. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says death and hell one day will be cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. It's what the Bible says. And so we have no excuse. Even tonight, everybody in this room, including these ears, we've heard the truth of the gospel from the Bible. You've heard the truth of the gospel from the Bible. God commands us to repent and believe the gospel. Maybe you already have. If you have, here's one way you can know you have. This is what the Bible teaches. If you've repented, you're still repenting because you did repent. You're not living like the devil and his crowd anymore. And those times that a saved person who is a child of God steps out of line and starts living like the devil's crowd, they cannot stay there long because the Lord will deal with them because they're God's children. If you can live a life of your lifestyle, if it is just a lifestyle of sin and just you doing what you want as you please, and you're saying, but Jesus is my Lord, you're deceiving yourself. Jesus explicitly warned against that and warned about that. If you have repented and believed, you're still repenting and believing because you have. The Lord commands sinners everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. The Holy Spirit is reproving the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Say, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? Maybe you're thinking, I want this. Praise the Lord, you ought to want it. Everybody ought to want this. That's the whole point of this passage. The Holy Spirit is convincing people, you need to know this. This is reality. This is truth. You need the truth. Well, accept the reproof of the Holy Ghost through the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit gave us the Bible. Accept the reproof with humble repentance and faith. Accept the reproof and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be rescued. Thou shalt be delivered. You need more of this. You need actually more of this. You need lots of this. If you continue, Jesus said, in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so if that's your desire, if you're thinking right now, I definitely need this. And by the way, if you don't have this, you definitely need this. This is, folks, this is everything. This isn't one thing out of many. Scripture says this is your life. This is it. If you gain the whole world, and you know, nobody here is going to gain the whole world. But if we did gain the whole world and we don't have this, we've lost everything. If you're thinking, I do need this, I do want this, this is my desire, I want to be sure that I'm a true believer in Jesus Christ, then I'm inviting you, let me, as a God-sent preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me help you know more about this from Scripture and help you to know that you are genuinely a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can be sure that it's settled with you. It's available. I'm available. That's why God saved me. That's why God put me in the ministry of preaching. That's why our church is here. That's what it's all about. If I can help you, if you want it, Jesus said, if you will, if you want it, if you will do His will, ye shall know of the doctrine, whether it's of God or whether I speak of myself. Do you want to know if this is true or not? Is God dealing in your heart? Is the Holy Spirit reproving you by His Scripture and by conviction? You want this? Let's talk about that. You see it in the Bible. Jesus would preach and people would come and talk to Him and He'd help them. I can help you from the Bible if you'll humbly want it. I'm going to leave you with one line from the Scriptures. This is what God says in the Scripture. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble.